I'm Liza, and I'm here with Kristen, and together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
So we've been talking with Colleen and Anne about epilepsy research, about Lilly's Fund and their experience as caregivers. They're specifically here on this date because they want to promote a really important day. Purple is my favorite color, so that's how I came across Purple Day. People know how passionately I love purple. My garage door is painted purple. If I could have a purple car, I would, but I don't have that, but I have a lot of purple clothes. So people were sending me, hey, there's this Purple Day thing. And then I was like, no way. And it's about epilepsy, which is what my daughter has. And then I was like, no way, it's Colleen Penwell, who's Grace's mom. So it was very like fun for me to unpack all of that and realize that this was something I could find out about more. But the thing is the first time I came across it was the year of the pandemic, right? So it was literally days after the world shut down. So the first, and I'll always remember this, the first pandemic or quarantine activity we did at our house is, I knew the kids weren't doing school on Zoom. I mean, they were trying, but we didn't even know how to get the technology to work. So I'm like, we're gonna do Purple Day. So we made all these purple like signs and posters and took a bunch of pictures and put it out. I'm barely on Facebook, but we put it out on Facebook and sent it out to the relatives. And so it was a really fun experience.
Oh,
so
I thank you for taking my
yes, I thank you for taking my passionate color, my new life purpose around understanding epilepsy and putting them together. So why don't you guys talk about how Purple Day evolved and what you want to tell our listeners to do with this?
Okay, so Purple Day was started by a young girl in Canada, I think Nova Scotian, and mm-hmm. her name is Cassie. And so it was this very grassroots effort by this young woman to make the world more aware of epilepsy. So she started Purple Day.
And is she epilepsy?
Yep. Okay. Excuse me. That's an important point.
Actually, I think she lost her mom to epilepsy. I think that's how it started.
Okay. Well, okay. Correct me. And she picked March 26th because she wanted to show the world that there is 1 in 26 people who will develop epilepsy in their lifetime. So that is why it is always March 26th.
Wait a minute. Let's pause for a second. 1 in 26?
Yep. Yes. So that's what we tell people sometimes when we go around to classrooms or groups. We'll say, you know, one person in this classroom. Mm-hmm. Think of it like that. And people look shocked. But if you go in front of a group and say, okay, you know, raise your hand if you know somebody who's affected by epilepsy. So we always have hands raised. So yes, 1 in 26 people.
Yeah, I think that's really a profound message. So I love that she chose March 26th.
Correct. Right.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no,
I really
that's
wanted
okay.
to hammer that point home because I've seen your presentation and know that it's really important to point out that statistic. Yep. So go ahead and tell us a little bit more about Purple Day, how it's not necessarily evolved, but what's going on today.
Mm-hmm. So So Lilly's Fund picked up on it, over a decade ago. And it is a very grassroots effort and anybody can do it. It's super easy. It's wear purple. That's it on the 26th. Now, we would love it if you send us your purple photos and we'll post it out there. And, you know, we're promoting it and trying to get epilepsy out there in the community. We are big believers in building awareness because the more people are aware of how common this is, the more research dollars will follow. So we've got lots of families and school kids and businesses who are all committed to wearing purple. We've got stickers we can send to people if they want to distribute them. So we're just, all it is asking the community to do this one simple thing.
And if you go to the Lilly's Fund, lilliesfund.org website, there is a whole section on Purple Day that has some wonderful resources for different kind of age groups. So we really would love more and more classrooms, schools to participate. And that's very fun because it's so educational in terms of just even from a science standpoint. We've had, depending upon the school and the teacher and the interest, people have done whole segments on epilepsy. And so there's, like Anne said, there's stickers for for companies that sign up to be sort of ambassadors on Purple Day. And we have a lot of repeat companies. We'll do things like one year, for several years, we would deliver purple cupcakes. And this year we have purple suckers with, and they're attached with that. We feel really important. It's very important to include some information. So there's little fact cards about some of the things like, did you know that 1 in 26 people will develop epilepsy? Did you know that epilepsy is more prominent than several different conditions like Parkinson's, MS, and Alzheimer's? However, it receives less funding than any of them. And so, you know, it's things that, like that, that we need to get out there.
This is a follow-up question. I'm curious, as I'm listening to you, have you seen any increase in donations or money going to research? Like, has it worked? Can you see a correlation?
Yes, with an exclamation point.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that.
So I can't speak to the federal level of how, if you know what their funding is, but the local level, what we have discovered, and we had no idea when we set out to do this, is that our little fund, when we give out our $100,000 research grants, that money would be the seed money for researchers to get their research going and then move on and apply for bigger and better funding.
At a national level.
At a national level from NIH, from other organizations like CURE, other private organizations. So I think right now with our with $400,000 in research grants that we gave out, we've gotten back over $3.8 million in research from that.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty damn good investment.
Absolutely.
And that was something we had no idea going into this, but it's been really awesome to have that happen.
That's great. You should be very proud of yourselves.
I was just thinking that you stole my what I was going to say, Kristen. Wow, you guys should be proud of yourselves. That's amazing. Before we go into break, what is one thing that you wish everyone knew about epilepsy?
Besides the 1 in 26, I think the thing is that it can happen to anyone at any life stage. It's not necessarily genetic. It's just, you know, especially people who have traumatic brain injuries, that's what we're seeing the most of. But it can happen to any of us.
We always say that epilepsy does not discriminate. There is no socioeconomic, nothing. You just don't know, you know, what card you're going to be dealt.
No, I can totally relate. I have a daughter that we were getting a massage and she had a seizure, and not epilepsy, but she had a seizure one time thing, and it just shook my whole world. It came out of nowhere. She was 20 some years old and it just whatever. It was scary. So we'll talk a little bit more about that once we get back from break. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.